Hello, everyone, and welcome to our Christ blessing on this 26th day of July. This is Glenda, and I can't tell you how glad I am to be here. This time yesterday, I was considering the possibility that I might not be able to be online today, and so we had Tony lined up to take over and shepherd the flock. Of course, the reason for that is we had Hurricane Hannah headed right to our doorstep. 3 years ago, we welcomed Hurricane Harvey, and he was not a very good guest. He caused a lot of damage, and of course all of our communication systems went down, our power system went down. It was a nightmare, to say the least. In fact, it's taken us 3 years, virtually, to recover from Harvey, so we were not particularly excited about having Hannah come for a visit. But we had our prayer team working for us, and we poured a lot of love into Hannah, and she just decided to behave herself. It actually caught us by surprise, because when she was out in the Gulf, she was classified as a tropical storm, and we're prepared in the subtropics to get one of those little rascals about, maybe one every 5 years or so. So, all of our buildings and our situations and landscape, we're set up to weather those little tropical storms and even a small hurricane. But Harvey was a monster hurricane, the kind that comes about once every 50 years. So we didn't think we were going to get another Harvey, and it was just a tropical storm. But she slowed down. She was supposed to have been here day before yesterday. She slowed down and drew water, warm water, up from the Gulf. And that's the sign of a hurricane in the making. So she was upgraded to a hurricane yesterday morning. But just a class one hurricane. And we were hoping, okay, my darling, we're just going to love the beauty of who you are, and we're going to wish that you have a happy journey in toward the land and become a beautiful little rainstorm when you reach us. Well, we didn't know that would happen. As late as 9 o'clock last night, we lost our Wi-Fi about 9 o'clock last night, and we were losing power, and the city of Corpus Christi, which is just 18 miles from where we live, was losing lots of power and had outages, and piers in the water were going down, and the wind was raging. So I was ready to go through a hurricane, and then all of a sudden, it became very quiet. And I looked out the window, and there were no trees growing. In fact, there was just a little mist of rain. Sweet. But as I stood on my porch, I heard in the background, probably, I would estimate maybe 50 miles away, something that sounded like a roaring freight train. So she was still roaring and pounding the earth. But she came in where there was very little human structural development. She came inland like a lady, and she graced our earth with her beautiful rain, and I'm sure there are good things that come from the wind as well, probably very good electrical regenerations of the land. I'm sorry. You know, we really have to look at the fact that everything God creates is out of love. It's just that we are no longer affiliated with the raw, with all of the raw patterns of the earth and how she takes care of herself and regenerates herself and moves forward. I found myself mostly praying for the animals and the birds that they could shelter, and that whatever love she was to grace us with would be brought in perfect peace. And that's exactly what happened. In the meantime, of course, I was talking to Tony and said, Tony, be prepared. You may have to take over today. And he was. So thank you so much for being prepared, Tony. And thank everybody here who was writing me last night and saying, what can we do? And I said, just be the love that you are and pray from the depths of your peace. Let's pray for peace on earth. So that's what we got. And this morning when I woke up, it was beautiful, sunny day, still as the morning of Easter, quiet and birds singing and happy and people moving around in their normal patterns. So it came and went around us and did cause some damage in some places. So we do pray for them and their recovery, but not anything like could have been. So this is a really good example of loving the storm. It worked. Love won. And I am so glad that it did. And it gives me an opportunity to bring a special message to you today. Because people are always asking me, well, how do you love things you don't like? Because there are a lot of things in the world we don't like. We don't like dangerous, destructive events. We don't like shootings and terrorist events. We don't like tornadoes coming in and tearing up the homes of villages. We don't like mudslides and forest fires. So how do you love the things you don't like? Well, that's a big question. And it's a really important question because Yeshua never said for us not to stop liking. He didn't say, like your enemies. He said, love your enemies. What's the difference? Well, see, I think this gives us, let's get home. Let's get even closer home before I get into the further discussion. You get a diagnosis for a really challenging disease. Maybe it's diabetes. Maybe it's cancer. Maybe it's a heart valve problem. You're not supposed to like it. Nobody says you're supposed to like it. You want to get rid of it. And let's face it, that's healthy and that's normal. So how do you love it? Because love is what gets rid of it. Okay. Well, the first thing you do in loving anything you don't like is you take a look at where your ego is coming into that situation. And the first thing could be guilt. Like, well, why did I deserve this? That's your ego. Get rid of your ego. Why am I being punished? That's your ego. Why didn't this happen to somebody else who doesn't have a family instead of me? That's your mean ego. Okay? The forest fires. Why is God so cruel? Opposing God? That's big time ego. get your ego out of it. That's the first thing. First thing you do. The ants, oh, I hate these ants. They're coming into my house. This is my temple. Go away. That's your ego talking. My temple. Let me remind you, God gave it to you. God made it, and he made the ants. Okay. All right, so you get the ego out of the way. The next thing to love is you take a look at how can I be here and lower my resistance? Because resistance causes us to oppose everything and defend ourselves from everything. Maybe if it's the ants, you just have to learn how to, at first, just have to figure out where they are so that you don't put food out there, you don't have water out there, and you protect your pets and your kids, and you say, stay away from that room until we can figure out how to get rid of the ants. Simple things like that. And then you take a look at how can you let these things not destroy your happiness and your joy. Let me tell you something. You cannot be happy and unhappy at the same time. And unhappiness is the fuel of your ego. Unhappiness is the fuel of your fear. Unhappiness is the fuel of your resistance. So find some way to get happy in spite of it all. There are people that have cured themselves from deadly diseases by just watching comedies and cartoons on TV. This is reported in biographies. I'm serious about it. Next thing is pray. My gosh, pray. If God created the storm, he's the one that can move it around. And I shouldn't say if, because we know he created the storm. He just didn't create it to damage you. That's just something we're misunderstanding. And God created the ants. He just didn't tell them to move into your house. Sometimes life and animals and nature can be as misdirected as we are. Just think about this, okay? And that'll get your ego out of the way. Have you ever been misdirected about anything? Ever once in your life, were you ever lost or misdirected? Did you ever drive down the wrong street and get in trouble? Did you ever fail to look at the dials on your car and not know you were about to run out of gas? Did you ever have an argument with your neighbor without first finding out what problems your neighbor had? Of course you have. So if you can be misdirected, so can nature be misdirected. So the next step after prayer is to study the situation and find out what got misdirected. Okay? And Yeshua said, love the ants away. Well, all right. You don't have to like them, but you have to figure out, well, what do they love? Why are they here? Mostly there are two things ants love. One is water, and the other is food. They don't much care about shelter. They're not in your home for shelter, because they're really, really good at building their own home in the earth. And that's where they feel most comfortable. They're not here to get away from natural catastrophe. They could survive in the worst storm, and they have. They could burrow under the earth and survive a forest fire. Okay, so they're not there for shelter. They're there for food or water. So what I do is I turn on the garden hose, and I go get some sugar cubes and put in the yard. Pretty soon, I don't have any ants in the house. But if I do, if they come back and they just insist on it, if they're really so bad that we have to exterminate, I do not call an exterminator. Because part of loving the ants is loving the earth that they're part of. One of the things you need to know about God is God works within a context. And that'll help you understand you. Because even though we work really hard to be an individual, you exist within a context. You were born into a family. You grew up in a hometown. You had friends, hopefully good friends. You went to school. I hope that was a pleasant experience, but even if it wasn't, it marked your personality. It's what you were part of. You might have moved around several places, and that just enriched your experience. But always, you were part of a context. You were. And you can't treat the body without taking a look at the environment, the diet, the friends around the person, the daily habits of that person. Are they stressed? Do they eat properly? Do they sleep enough? Do they exercise? What are they doing? You see, God looks at you in a context. He looks at everything in a context. God is part of our wholeness. And the first thing God does is make you part of that wholeness. And that's how he heals you. The root word of healing is whole. God makes you whole again. And not just whole as a separate entity, but whole as part of who and all that you are. So, if we have to use something to be more drastic with the ants, I look at the safer chemicals that will not damage the environment, like chrysanthemum and the petals and the little bits of food that they will take to carry to the queen. I'm sorry to say that sometimes it has to be that harsh. First of all, I try to love the queen away, but the thing is she loves love. She loves being loved, and she just calls more guys to serve her. But the fact is, once the queen is dead, they all leave and go find another queen. Because ants are driven by love. So love the ants away involves learning what they love. They love water, they love food, and they love their queen. And as long as we respect those things, we can work with it and usually manage our environment and turn it into something we can cooperate with and live with. Now, the same thing is true about yourself. Yes, we want to. Let's just say you got a very dangerous diagnosis. The first thing you need to do is just say, okay, I want to be right with myself. Oh, Lord, please make me whole and tell me. Help me understand everything that's going on inside me so that you can first assume your responsibility. You do everything you can do for yourself. And then you take a look at what all your options are. Which options are the most loving? Which options will give you the most confidence? Which options allow you to stay connected with the environment? You see, in my opinion, one of the worst and most dangerous factors of the COVID-19 is it destroyed our wholeness. It took us out of our environment. But people who were very creative didn't let that happen. They got online, they got on the telephone, they sent emails, and they stayed connected to everyone they loved. And that was good. That was very good that we did that. They connected. They help their families stay connected. They help their kids stay connected with their friends. And it's very important in all things. That's how you love, through all the things you don't like. Remember, love is unity. Love is wholeness. Love is connection. Love is God. Love is creation. Love is acceptance. And love is often surrender. It means, okay, this is where I am. Now, what do I do with it? You see? So love is not the same thing as liking. It's different. And it's the most important subject you could ever study. The greatest discoveries in science, in human services, in human welfare, in ecology, and every other growth development we have ever engaged with has come from the study of love. Those who take the other direction have brought destruction and fear and hatred that sometimes lasted for decades, not to mention injury and enemies that just keep popping up with their judgments. Judgment is a very dangerous thing because it blocks our higher intelligence. Sometimes we do have to flash up and say, hey, that's wrong. Stop it. Yeah, but don't hold to it. Don't let it become a state of mind, an attitude that is sustained by your further actions. Just apply it for a given moment and situation, and then return back to your higher intelligence. So that's how the storm brought me into blessings for a message to you. I just looked at it. I looked at all the elements of the storm. I looked at how she draws the water up, how she moves forward, and where she's likely to go, because within her is also love. God created the storms to activate the energy of the earth. And so I directed the attention of the storm to the open fields that really were fertile ground for building energy, where there was more water inland for her to connect with. She didn't need to connect with more ocean water. She already had that. But I directed her to where the marshes were and the rivers were coming in, and the open land would be nurtured and nourished by the energy she was bringing. So I caused her to love the thing she was created to love, and she just followed it. She just followed it like a baby to her mama and moved around to us because, you know, she wouldn't be doing good for us, but she did good for the land. So I guess that's kind of it for me. I want to take some calls now. Jerome, I see you're on and your line is open.
Oh, yes. My son is going through some complications with his life. So his name is Andrew, and it's affecting us. But what you just told me is love has a different way now of looking at everything. And so we had a big storm last night. We got an inch of rain, which we needed badly because we were 9 inches of rain behind up here. And so looking at God is in everything. I just enjoy the love that you are, the love of the universe, the love of everything. And thank you just for being so much full of love. And you're helping me. You're helping my family. And keep up the good work. Because because you're love all everywhere.
Oh, that's so sweet. That's so sweet, Jerome. And I know that we can run into extremely challenging situations with the ones we love so much.
Yes, right.
Focus on the larger pattern of love that surrounds the life of your beloved Andrew.
Okay.
And take your attention off the things that are challenging you.
Okay.
Okay?
Take your attention
because you don't want to put your attention there.
Right.
And even the good dad, the good father that wants the best for his son, there's a little touch of ego there.
Right.
And I know you don't like to think of it that way.
Right.
But but the thing is, even love has that side of it. A good dad wants the best for his son.
Yes.
Let's face it. Okay?
Right. Okay.
Surrender.
Okay.
Surrender.
That's
and
right.
Let God take over.
That's
because he's God's son also.
Okay.
Share him.
Yes.
Share Andrew with God.
I will. Okay, it's just great. I love you and thank you.
And just say, oh, God, I love sharing parenting with you.
Okay, I will. Oh, thank you. I love to you forever and always. Always. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hello, Stormy. Well, your name is very appropriate today.
Yes, Glenda. I wanted to mention and give gratitude for Peace Community Church I experienced under Francisco Cole's Inner Peace Movement and Americana Leadership College stuff. But one of the things I've experienced and learned is that when a healing, spiritual and physical, is complete, you have no memory of the healing. It is that complete.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
And I have a prayer request.
Okay.
I'd like to meet you for lunch at Red Willie's.
Redfish Willie's. Of course I know Redfish Willie's, but they were very much affected by the hurricane, so we got to give them a chance to put their patio back up.
Oh, there you go. That wasn't in the picture, so. But, to have a healing so complete you have no memory of it. The only reason I talk about one of my healings is because I use it as a teaching example.
Uh-huh.
Because if you bring up the story, you can bring back the need for the healing again. So it's complete, but I got permission and with God to be able to talk about a particular healing
mm-hmm.
in my life as a teacher. But at Peace Community Church,
mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed being a part of.
That's great. Well, you know, Stormy, I remember years and years, actually decades ago, I had a very special healer for a teacher. And this is before I went through all of my Christ experiences. But this was also a very true healer and teacher. And he would say, after the healing was done, and I would say, it's gone. He said, now don't bring it back. He reminded me. And I said, why would I bring it back? And he said, by thinking about it. Don't bring it back. When it's gone, it's gone. So, you know, I think that's a very important contribution you just made, Stormy, because sometimes when a healing has occurred, or let's just say a respite of problems, the chaos is gone, the danger's gone, and in the first wave, we just enjoy the peace. And then we go back and we try to ruminate over it and think our way through it as if thinking our way through it can make it permanent. This teacher told me the way you make it permanent is you don't bring it back. So I think that's very sound advice, Stormy. And if there's anyone else who would like to ask for a prayer or a blessing, now would be your time. And otherwise, we're just going to move into our blessing. We have a very quiet community today for the most part, but here's Tara Kim. Hello, dear. You're on.
Hello, everyone. Hi, Glenda. How are you?
I'm fine.
You made it through the quite the time last night.
Yes, I did.
I'm glad to hear that. That was really awesome to hear about the storm. To understand a little bit more about how you addressed that. Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
I'd just like to request continued blessings for my husband's healing from his surgery. And his name is Bert, B-E-R-T.
Okay. We've got him.
Great. Thank you so much.
On my prayer list. All right.
Okay.
And you too, because you have to be strong for him.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. All right. Well, everybody, let's just get ready for our blessing. Oh, well, we've got one more call. Julie, hi. Julie, you're on.
Hi, Glenda. Thanks so much for all your sharing. I'm so glad the storm came in a way that was helpful to everyone. I have a quick question related to what you were talking about. I've really been struggling with energy recently. I'm starting to see some of my own habits that I can change, but it's way beyond, at least my experience of it, is way beyond just being tired or not getting enough sleep. It's just so fatigue. I don't know how to explain it. Very fatiguing at a body level. And I'm wondering if you could just briefly apply the same concepts to the storm and the other things you were mentioning to energy, physical, mental, emotional energy, or fatigue.
I'll do what I can. First of all, realize that there are, if you were able to put energy under a spectroscope, you would see an infinite range of energy going all the way to God, all the way into the earth. And in our normal human activities, we use a range of energy that probably has no more than about maybe 20 or 30 dimensions at the most. For most people, it's probably only 5 or 6 dimensions, which would include emotional energy, the physical, muscular energy to actually pick up a jug of water, and then we have metabolic energy, and we have motivational energy. We have social energy, and then we have the energy we use to connect with our loved ones, which is love energy, and then we have creative energy, which gives us that spark of inspiration, and we have spiritual energy. So what have I gone to? Maybe 10? Well, first of all, I would suggest, Julie, you make a list of all the different types of energy that are normal to your life and rate where they are on a scale of 1 to 10. And the ones that are the lowest, you just bless them and just say, it's okay. I'm going to let you have a vacation while I discover other sources of energy. Okay. And the ones that are the highest, you're going to say to them, okay, baby, you're on now. This is what we need more of. Get them working, and then go into prayer or meditation or some broader scale of awareness and contemplation, and consider the breadth of energy in the universe. It might be at night you'll just go out and look at the stars. Maybe you'll sit outside and enjoy the breeze and just think about how amazing it is. Maybe you'll have a drink of water and not just sense the wetness of the water, but the energy in the water. Expand your awareness of how you connect with energy that is greater than what you normally use. In other words, you've got to restore the foundation. When we get to the point you're talking about, and I have been there. In fact, I am there right now. I am there, but you're not going to see it in my performance, because I've got other energy forms I can draw on. I am really, really depleted at this point and have been for 3 years of struggle to recover from Hurricane Harvey. And it was difficult last night to keep me from rethinking Harvey, because I did not want to bring that back. I mean, like I was saying before, when it's over, you let go. So it was hard not to bring that back, but I just stayed with the love I could put into this storm. Okay, now having said that, I'm right where you are, Julie, except for the fact that I found other sources of energy. And so I bring them into play. And I try to, well, let me say this first of all. When you're renovating a house that's run down, you don't try to do it with a fresh coat of paint. You got to go to the foundation. And the foundation actually is not your body. We like to think it is, because that's our ego talking. The ego is saying, you're you, and you're not anybody else, and you're not anything else. Let's fix you. Let's fix me so I can be me, and I can be strong the way I once was strong. That's your ego talk. Actually, you may need to fix something else first that's not you. And that's what you have to look at. You don't, like I said, a fresh coat of paint is not going to fix a house that's broken down. I wish dearly that the pandemic was not going on. It would be lovely to have a therapeutic massage. But that's not going to fix the problem. So, you know, I'm just saving myself an expense on something that would feel good, but probably not solve the issue. It's kind of like I said to Jerome earlier. I said, Jerome, go into co-parenting with God. That's the best thing you can do for Andrew. Don't be yourself worried about it, or yourself trying to fix it. You've got to be the larger person you are working with it. So you might want to co-partner with God on what you need to. It may be something that you need to acquire for your life that is missing. It may be something in your life you need to get rid of that's draining. It may be you need to relocate your life. There's a larger answer you're not finding right now, Julie, and that's why you need to co-partner with God on finding the answer. The answer is there, and there's never a shortage of energy in the universe. There's plenty of energy to fire the sun every day and move all the planets around it. There's plenty of energy to draw up water from the earth and create a hurricane. We just want her to go where it serves us the best and not where it causes destruction. So there's plenty of force within humanity. It's just, why can't we put it on charity instead of destruction? Let's take this energy that's all around us and use it for the best. But in order to do that, we may have to co-partner with God. And this brings us back to the most important closure I can give for our blessing today. The two and only commandments Yeshua gave us. The first is basically what I'm saying. Co-partner with God. He says, love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. That's co-partnering, okay? And then from there, you'll have the perspective, the guidance, and the energy of how to love others as yourself. And you'll find that in others is everything you're missing. Now, you may have to give into it, give in order to get something back, but you'll get it because there's plenty of energy to go around. There's just not plenty of energy in isolation. That's our number one mistake, is isolating ourselves. Number one mistake in all of human history, isolating ourselves. Right now, we're suffering environmentally because the human race is isolating itself from the environment. We used to be part of the environment. Not that long ago, really. 200 years ago. You don't have to go back a million years in history to find when we were part of the environment. Your grandparents were. And your great-grandparents certainly were. You don't have to go back that far to get to where people grew their own vegetables. They grew their own livestock. They went out and handpicked the eggs every morning for their breakfast. They milked the cow. And they were not polluting the environment with factory waste. Okay? So, the answer is always, get out of your isolation and be part of the bigger picture. But you might say, as I might say, or anyone, but Glenda, it's not safe. It is if you first partner with God, and He'll take you exactly where you need to be and where it's safe and who needs you and who can give you what you need. Okay? Every cell in your body, every atom in the universe exchanges energy in order to acquire energy. I'm sorry if that's a wake-up call, but it's the way things work. You can read a science book, or you could read the Bible. It doesn't matter. They both say the same thing. You have to give something to get something. Every atom exchanges an electron in order to gain an electron. Now, why would it do that? Why? That's to gain unity. Because that other atom has something different to offer. And the electron from that atom has something different to offer the other atom. And so they form a pattern of unity. And then a greater unity and a greater till we have a molecule. And then a molecule will exchange with another molecule until we have an element. And then from an element to a substance. And that's exchanging and exchanging until we have a substance that's either organic or inorganic, and from that we build life forms or non-life forms, but we still exchange energy. That's what it's all about, my friend. And that's why our blessing is conveyed as energy. This is why we used to have personal live training blessing seminar, because this is something that had to be trained in person, because we had to be there with one another, exchanging our life, becoming energy, focused together. And I'm praying for the day when we can have a new live blessing seminar. It's not going to work on Zoom. It's just not going to work on Zoom because that will bring in an energy form that's not what we need to join ourselves as a family. But we do convey energy to you. And so that's how this all works. All we ask of you is to be still. Be silent. Find that soft and uncross your arms and legs or anything else with your body that might be crossed over from left to right side. It could be toes or hair or whatever. Because the energy is going to flow down from the cosmos into the earth and back up from the earth. Now, it will cross over in your heart because it's designed to do that. And then go back up, come back down, cross over in your heart, and flow down again. So we convey this as energy, and it gives you elements of energy that you need for your healing or for your purposes in life. And it will make a difference. Sometimes you have to come back a few more times in order for it to build up. But that's why this is always and forever will be free. Never a charge. Never. We do appreciate your donations because, you know, there are a few costs involved in providing it. And so we welcome your donations, but no pressure on anyone to give. If this is my gift and I receive back abundantly from the energy I give forth. And that's why I can be depleted in one area of my bio-spiritual electrical system and still have the vitality to be on this call and the vitality to keep everything moving in life. So, let's go for it, all right? We're going to put our call on. We're going to mute everybody so we've got a quiet background. And I'm going to ask the blessing givers to stand with me while I offer my prayer to Yeshua. The rest of you just be quiet in your inner space and inner peace. You will be in prayer once my prayer is completed, and the blessing givers and I will conduct the energy that's designed especially for you. Yeshua, we thank you so much for giving us the illustration of your life. You didn't have to come here and do that. You could have stayed in heaven. You could have just remained with the Holy Spirit and your Heavenly Father. You could have just watched us from the high ground. But you came here and you walked on the dusty roads of the Holy Land in sandals. You drank water that probably wasn't pure, but you purified. And you gave us to drink water to drink that quenched our thirst in spirit and not just body. You fed the poor. You healed the sick. You suffered along with humanity. And you gave us hope. You gave us an illustration of what we could be if we would only reach for it. And you gave us the formula. Then you showed us that it was possible by dying and being born again, demonstrating our immortality of spirit. So today we give you our love, our respect, our appreciation, and our devotion. We ask on behalf of all humanity that we can receive all of the blessings you've given to us. because we know that receiving is sometimes the hardest part, because it requires change in order to get better. It requires lowering our defenses in order to receive something new. And for many people on the earth, they feel they survive only with their defenses up. We ask for a moment to be the ones for them who surrenders and lets down the defenses, that we may be the receivers and the bringers of new possibilities, of new hope, of new joy, and of radiant love into the earth. We come to walk with you, and we thank you that you walk with us. All of these things we ask in the name of you, most blessed, the Holy Spirit, and our precious divine Holy Father. Amen. Blessing givers, will you join me and the rest of you begin the prayer? Amen. Your blessing has been given. Now, you go and rest and complete your receiving. At least 7 minutes of not thinking, just opening yourself up, allowing your defenses to come down, whatever form your defenses might take. Let them come down and let the grace of God in. Bye-bye for now, and I look forward to being with you again next Sunday. And we have our prayer session on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 8:30 in the evening, Central Time. You're always welcome. Bye-bye for now.